On in. Come on in to Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here and ready to rock and roll.
All right. Well, we got a fresh face on the screen tonight and who hadn't been with us in a while, but let us know you're getting a clear signal and that we're coming through loud and clear. We're certainly grateful for this day. Here it is, what, the 19th day of December, and Christmas is right around the corner. I mean, literally right around the corner. But we're not so much caught up in a day as we are in the Christ of the Christmas. Isn't that right, Reverend?
That's right.
And so we praise God for this Advent season, because we're on tiptoe in expectation, and we're just looking forward to the return of Christ. And you never know. You have to be ready, because he may come even during this season. So we praise God for each of you. And Lady Kim has been away for a couple of weeks, and I had been riding solo up until today. And so she's here, and all of the things I said about her and all the things I said was my side of the story that still stands. And so if anybody wants to debate that or refute it, then you have an opportunity to do that while she's here. But we're going to go ahead and get started. We got a lot of information we're going to try to cover tonight. And we praise God for each of you who are on the call and those of you who will listen to this particular virtual time together later. And so let's just have prayer, and then we'll talk a little bit about what happened yesterday in the worship experience. And then we'll jump into our time together tonight. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you that in you we do live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly that we're nothing without you. And so now, God, we pray that you will just order our steps even as we prepare for this time of study together. And we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise God. Let us know the signal is good and that you're getting good reception as we prepare. We're going to talk about forming lasting relationships. And I've already kind of set the table the last couple of weeks, and Lady Kim is going to clarify and just kind of make comments on some of the things that we're going to do a brief review, and then we'll jump into talking about those five love languages that we left off on last week. But Lady Kim, just tell us a little bit about what happened yesterday in the worship service. It was a powerful time in the Lord, and I tell you, people are getting a sense of knowing that we're coming to the close of this year, and that Christmas is next Sunday, and it's going to be on a Sunday this year. Normally it doesn't happen that way, and I think it's a big gap in between the times that Christmas will rotate and be on a Sunday, but we have the pleasure of enjoying that experience this year. Last year, if you remember, we had a Christmas morning service, and then we had our regular Sunday service. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was the first time we had a Christmas morning service. Yes. An hour of power, and that was a powerful time. We're not going to have a long service this Sunday. The kids are going to do some things, and we're going to just share a word, and then we're going to come back home and relax and do what people do on Christmas. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But tell us a little bit about what happened in terms of the service on yesterday and what you experienced in terms of what happened yesterday.
Okay. Like you said, it was an awesome time on yesterday. The title of your sermon was Blessed by His Birth. Mm-hmm. I believe blessed by His birth.
That's right.
And you came from Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verses 6 and 7. It's a familiar passage of scripture where it says, "For unto us a child is born, mm-hmm. unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment from justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so you had three significant points that you talked about. You talked about his name gives us purpose, his name gives us possibility, and his name gives us potential. You said his birth. So mm-hmm. his birth gives us purpose, his birth gives us possibility, and his birth gives us potential. You know, and the Christmas story is a story of hope. You know, that's what you brought out, and that it's at the core of our faith.
That's right.
If it had not been for Christ, the child being born into this world, redeeming us of our sins, he walked among us, teaching us what it's like to be Christ-like. And he went to the cross and redeemed us of our sins. Without that, we would have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cornerstone of our faith, you know. And you talked about how it has been a difficult year for many, but guess what? We're still here.
We're still here.
We're still rocking
and
rolling.
That's right.
So when we're still here, that's a good thing, you know. And God has a plan and a purpose for all of our lives. So his birth gives us purpose for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
For the simple reason that he came into this world, we can follow his examples. So, you know, we have purpose. But we also have possibility. You know, his name gives us purpose and possibilities. The possibilities, you know, are... that his kingdom will have no end. And that's what it means in the hereafter.
Right.
You know, his kingdom will have no end. The government will be upon his shoulders. And so we have many possibilities before us. And we have potential also.
Okay.
You know, and we have to find ways to bring hope and joy and love to everybody that we come in contact with. And so we are encouraged by his birth. We have been blessed by his birth.
Okay. All right. You had those. You took those notes yesterday?
I took a few notes.
Okay. Because all of that was sounding quite familiar. And so I was wondering, do you remember that? Did you take notes?
I take notes because, you know, if you got a short memory, you need a long pencil.
Okay. But no, that was a good review, because really, when we talk about the fact that we're blessed by his birth, and then we are empowered by the name, because his name shall be called what?
Wonderful Counselor,
Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And so all of those names really help us internalize who and whose we are. And it gives us the potential that we need to go forward and not really be in doubt about the outcome. Because many times, like Kim, when we talked about how people have had a tough time and how people have gone through some difficulties this year, God continues to keep us in spite of ourselves.
Yes, he does.
And he's keeping us even now. And here we are getting ready to close out the year, and we have every reason and right and responsibility to give him praise,
mm-hmm.
because he's sustaining us in the midst of everything that we are going through, we've gone through, and everything that we will experience and everything that's happening right now. And so that's part of understanding that he's a wonderful counselor, and he's a mighty God, he's an everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And so with all of that tied in, it gives us the boldness and the sure determination to run on a little while longer to see what the end will be like.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah said that he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so even if we're facing a difficulty, even if we're going through a trying time that doesn't look like what God has promised, we have to continue to hold on to God's unchanging
Amen.
Hand.
Amen.
And all of this was in the wake of a young man who took his life. You know, he's very popular on Ellen's show. What was his name?
Twitch.
And so, you know, a lot of people commented about that and began to think about that. And we had a very lively discussion in our men's Sunday school class. And you'll be surprised at how some people are really wrestling with that whole suicide. And many times the people that you think are doing okay, everything is well with them, they're having some internal battles that if no one really comes to them or tries to comfort or encourage them, they'll find themselves stuck in a dark place.
Yes.
And it's very difficult when the mind begins to start playing tricks on you. It's very difficult for them to be able to get out of that if they don't have somebody around them who will help encourage them and strengthen them through that whole process.
Yes.
And so we talked about that at length in the men's class, and it was a gentleman in there, and I started to add this into my sermon, but I didn't, that said he attempted to take his life twice, and it didn't happen, and the belt broke. He had tied a belt around his neck.
My Lord.
But God intervened,
yes,
and
he
it was
did.
Not his time. And now he's on a mission of trying to help other people. And I told them in the class how important it is for us to encourage each other, even the person that you might think that has it all together.
Right.
You still got to speak a word, a positive word, and keep your spiritual antennas up, because you never know. You might be the voice, or you might be the person that God uses in the time of somebody else going through.
That's right.
To help them overcome a darkness in their lives.
Amen. Amen. That's very true. You know, the people you think that have the biggest smile all the time.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, we have the right buzzwords. You know, I'm blessed and highly favored.
That's right.
Yes, we are blessed and highly favored, but everybody struggles from time to time internally.
That's right.
Everybody struggles, with issues in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing we know for sure, that God can bring us through.
That's right.
God can see us through. And so don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Hold on. Find somebody to talk to.
That's right.
You
That's
know,
right.
Don't think that because you're going through that you're the only one that's going through and nobody understands. There are plenty of people that understand what you're going through.
That's right.
So God is a mighty God.
That's right. He's our counselor.
He's our counselor.
That's right. That's
he's
right.
our Prince of Peace.
Absolutely.
He can give us peace in the midst of the storm.
That's right.
So that's why he came to this earth, because he's all of those adjectives that are described in that passage of scripture in Isaiah.
That's right. And so at the end, it really was a challenge for us to think seriously about ways in which we can actively participate in the body of Christ by not just sitting back in splendor isolation, but trying to be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
And so we talked about the different ministries that we offer and how they are really growing, and got a Zale yesterday,
yes,
from Dallas, Texas.
Yes.
And I tell you, that was a response to the challenge that we were putting
Absolutely.
Forth. And people want to respond to something where they feel they're being effective, or the monies are being used to help a situation.
Right.
And you went out yesterday with the team as we fed, some 300 meals. And everybody who was at church on yesterday, and probably one of our largest crowds in a while, they received a free meal to take home with them. And so hats off to those in the ministry of Meals on the Wheel. What is it?
Meals from the Heart.
Meals from the Heart. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent job. And it was about 20 of them in the back while we were in service, getting everything ready. And hats off to that whole ministry team that does an excellent job in making sure that we meet those needs.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Wonderful.
All right. Well, that's just a little recap from yesterday. And so we praise God. We're talking about forming lasting relationships. Lady Kim, one of the things I shared with the group in your absence, and we're glad to see you back. And as I told the people before some of them got on, everything that I said while she was gone, I stick to it and stand by it.
And he does.
So if there's some comments or questions,
that's
my story and I'm sticking to it. But we talked about how do you, form lasting relationships. First of all, it begins with God and it ends with God. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sure that we have our vertical relationship intact with God. So then all of the horizontal relationships fall in place. But one of the things that's really critical about our vertical relationship is that many times people will let you down. And if you haven't established a sure foundation in Christ, then you'll fall apart and you'll do some things that you would not normally do because your relationship is not secure in Christ.
Amen.
And so that has to be key, because there are no perfect relationships. There are no perfect people. There are no perfect marriages. There are no perfect couples. And I even mentioned about how we have been together for well over 40 plus years. And we're getting ready to celebrate our anniversary in a couple of weeks.
Next week.
And so we're not perfect. Lady Kim, she's a street fighter from Chicago. And so y'all don't see that.
I told one of my coworkers we played Dirty Santa at work, mm-hmm. and she came and stole the gift that I had,
mm-hmm.
and I told her, I said, she doesn't know me. I'm from the south side of Chicago. And everybody started laughing.
And so we have the same challenges that other people have, and we have some of the same struggles. And some of the most difficult times, even in our marriage, has strengthened us because our anchor was sure and we had a firm foundation in Christ. And so when I talk to couples and when I talk to people of premarital, I try to establish that whole foundation of making sure that they are spiritually sound and fit, because many times, particularly when people are relatively young, they're not thinking about that. They're trying to come up with the right answers and the correct things to say. But you can't omit and you can't get by having that spiritual foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Because when everything else falls apart, if that foundation is not in place, then you're going to crash. You're going to go down. And so you got to work on yourself before you try to work on somebody else. You must be open and honest. These are just some little nuggets that I shared. You have to be open and honest and have critical dialogue about your past. And don't just try and cover things up that you have that are still open wounds and still hurts that you are dealing with. And many times people try to put their best self forward in the relationship and fail to be open about some of the hurts and some of the issues that they have faced, because we know that hurt people hurt people. And so our behavior in relationships should be straightforward, and we should make sure that we open up about some of the issues and some of the problems that we have faced in our past. And I shared about how many times what happens in the home growing up is a mirror of how you will respond and behave once you get older.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's the elephant in the room, and people are subconsciously acting out of their growing up and how they dealt with things in their family. There's an absence of a mother or absence of a father. If there's abuse, if there's some issues in the family where there's alcoholism or either mental illness, many times people carry that in the inside of them, and it'll come forth at a time when things get difficult and situations seem as if they're about to fall apart.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of people think we're talking about a marital relationship, but this is any type of relationship.
That's right. That's right.
This is, you know, if you're dating or, you know, looking for a mate, you have to be whole yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't try to make somebody else whole and you're broken.
That's right.
And you can't help, well, you can't make nobody whole anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can, you know, have open dialogue with them, but they have to be willing to take the steps to make themselves whole. And by making themselves whole, healing from those hurts, healing from the past, healing from the pain, so they won't carry those things into the relationship, into your relationship.
That's right.
And so, you know, when I want to, you know, digress for a minute, when mm-hmm. A young man and a young lady are dating, you know, old school days, you know, you courted.
Okay.
You know, and courting was just to get to know a person. You know, you get to know a person, you get to know about their family. You know, they used to, back in the day, you sat on the porch, you know, and there was an adult not far away. You know, you sat out on the steps or on the stoop or in the swing on the porch, and all you could do is look at each other and talk to each other. But you know what? We need to get back to that. We too busy looking at hips and lips. We don't even know their middle name.
That's right.
You know, we don't even know what kind of family they come from. We don't even know what trauma or ACEs they have been involved with. So we need to take time to get to know a person. And you know what? Courting and dating is just that. It's to find out if you're compatible with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not compatible with that person, courting and dating all took place to find your significant other or your mate to marry. And if that didn't work, I mean, if you not compatible, you need to move on.
You talking good, Reverend.
Am I talking good, y'all? Thank you. But you need to move on.
That's key. That's critical.
But in these modern times that we live in, we too busy trying to, I'm going to be real tonight, we too busy trying to hop into bed with somebody.
That's what it's all
and
about.
We don't even know their middle name.
That's right.
We don't even know what side of town they really live on.
Yeah.
So you have to be cautious. You have to be careful, you know, when you're dealing with relationships and when you're dealing with a person. Courting and dating is to get to know a person.
Okay.
Not to be intimate with a person, but to get to know them intimately, personally intimately, not intimately sexually.
Wow. You said a mouthful tonight, Reverend. I'm having all kind of flashbacks because I was thinking, first of all, about when we first met.
You don't
want me to do that? You don't want me to go there?
They already heard your story. Right. They don't want to hear your story.
Well, I'll let
no
you
more.
Tell it then. They heard
we ain't going to tell it. I'm not going to tell it tonight because we got too much other
right,
things we can
right.
deal with.
Well, let me say this.
Somebody said, and you can't court and date online. You can't or you can?
What did it say? Date and discover.
Date to discover.
That's right.
You date to discover. Discover about that person. Yes.
Right. Because as you went back, and there were times when people would bring whom they thought they were serious about home
mm-hmm.
to meet the parents and all mm-hmm. of that. But then, you know, it's way past that now. By the time you do meet somebody that they, whoever they've been seeing, either they're on their way to getting married
to the altar,
or they're pregnant or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to get back to that if we're going to have whole and healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. That's where I was going because. You know, people want to try to have a perfect relationship, mm-hmm. a perfect marriage, and try to be a perfect person when there are no perfect persons, there are no perfect relationships, there are no perfect marriages. And one of the things that I really kind of, encourage, not so much encourage, but just have people to beware of the red flags that mm-hmm. they see early on, mm-hmm. because if not, that's if they don't deal with that on the front end, that's a clear signal mm-hmm. of something that's going to happen down mm-hmm. the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, ladies, if when he gets upset, he throwing and breaking stuff, that's a red flag.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You know, when you ducking trying to get out of the way, mm-hmm. or if he kicking the cat, that's a red flag. Or if he trying to choke your dog, that's a red flag, okay? Because next he going to move from the cat and the dog, he going to be kicking you and choking you, okay?
That's right.
So red flags, there are a lot of red flags that you can see in relationships when you're courting or when you're dating. Again, courting and dating is to get to know a person well enough to see if you're compatible with that person. If you're not compatible with that person, you need to move on.
That's right. That's right. And many times we talk about being
unequally yoked.
Yeah, unequally yoked or equally yoked, and that kind of gives you a clarity. But the foundation has to be there. You have to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto us. And many times we look at the material things, but that has to do also with the vertical relationship with God and making sure that it covers the gamut of all things mm-hmm. that we experience, even in relationships. And if God is in the center, then it settles us in a way where we're able to get through those rough patches, because we know that He's our counselor, He's a mighty God, He's the Prince of Peace, and He's an everlasting Father. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about forming lasting relationships. And even in this season, what we might consider love, it's important for us to know that God is love. God cares for us during this Advent season. He was born that we might be reborn. He died that we might live. And so we have to make sure that we are in proper relationship with Him and not get in such a hurry to get into a relationship and Christ is not at the center of it.
Amen.
Yeah.
And, you know, let me make this disclaimer, too, that, you know, I haven't dated or courted anybody mm-hmm. in almost 50 years. So I know it's different now because Dr. Q said you cannot court or date online. Mm-hmm. You can't court a date online, but you can do a lot of things. You can talk to a person and try to find out a lot of information about a person online. And guess what? You can look up. You can really find out about that person online.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're being honest or not.
That's right.
But there are a lot of nutcases out here, too. So you do have to be careful, but that's how they date now. They date online. You
ask people get married.
Yes,
offline. And all of that.
You ask people nowadays, where did you meet your spouse? They met them online. Yeah, there's nothing
dating
wrong with
sites
that.
And all of that.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you can find a compatible or a suitable mate online. You know, I've never had to do that, mm-hmm. but you know, the world has changed since I dated and courted. And they say you can Google a person, you know, and they can Google you too.
That's right. That's right.
So it has changed. But let's talk about some significant things.
That's good, Reverend. So people need to really, and see, we don't know where people are. Some people might be at a place in their relationship where they feel that, well, I'm past that. I don't, that's not applicable to where I am. Mm-hmm. But, the relationship may not be what it ought to be in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so it's mm-hmm. never too late once you come in to the light to start, you know, rearranging the house and getting your house in order.
Absolutely.
And I think God honors that when we, and there are blessings in store for those who are willing to walk in obedience to the things of God.
Amen.
And
that's
so
right.
a marriage or a relationship that's just barely getting by, I believe that once they surrender into to Christ, that the relationship will begin to explode with possibilities.
Amen, mm-hmm. amen. Mm-hmm. And for our older people out there that are looking for relationships, it's not too late. or you may not be able to do the things you were once able to do when you were in your 20s, 30s, or 40s. You know, a friend of mine got married at the ripe age of 67, and her husband was 70 mm-hmm. when they got married. And she got engaged on Valentine's Day. This was some years ago, and they're still married. They got engaged on Valentine's Day, and their wedding was planned for July. And her sister was saying, well, why y'all going so fast? Why you got to get married so soon? And her fiance said, well, I'm 70 years old, and, you know, God only promised me 70, and I'm, you know, and if I live a little longer, you know, I might go into overtime, but, you know, I need to do this thing now. You know,
it's still kicking, it's still going strong, still working.
So,
yeah,
so
you were the bridesmaid in that wedding.
I was the maid of honor,
What did I say? Bridesmaid.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing,
no, it's different.
All right, I'm sorry, that's the person right next to the bride,
yes,
and you were in the
maid of honor, maid I was of next honor. To her,
yes, ma'am,
to the bride, and then the bridesmaid.
That's it, that's what that meant. You got it. All right.
You can tell he's been married a long time. He don't even.
I marry people all the time, though, and I should know that. So,
oh, okay.
You know, you're right. I misspoke on that. But, you know, when I first met Lady Kim, it was interesting because we were still in college, and I was a nasty Q dog back then. And so she was like, No, I don't want to have anything to do with all of that foolishness. And so here's what happened when I went to the, were you in the dormitory? When I went to the dormitory to meet her, her roommate came down and said, well, she'll be down in a few minutes. And so I'm sitting down there, about an hour passed by, I was trying to figure out. I was saying, well, what in the world? Her name was Kiki, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
I said, well, you need to go tell her I'm still down here waiting, you know, because something ain't right with this whole picture. It took her over an hour to come down just to see what I wanted. And but once she came down and saw me sitting there and I had on, I was straight, you know, with all of my... She just melted in my arms and
oh Lord.
And then that was the
I said, hey, how you doing? What you want? Deuces, I'm upstairs, okay? I gotta go back and study.
So I that's her side, but I'm just trying to tell you what really happened. But ever since that day, we've been running strong and we've been going strong, and it's been a journey. What is it going to be in the next week or so?
You tell me.
43 years.
We've been married, not dating, courting. We will be married 43 years, December
Look at
the 29th.
God. Look at God.
Yeah, there have been some ups. There have been some downs. There have been some hills. There have been some valleys. There have been some plains. But guess what? We're still in the fight.
43 years strong.
Still in the fight.
So... we praise God for that, and we dated for, what, 2-3 years
mm-hmm.
before we actually got married. And mm-hmm. But praise God, when God puts something together, then it's together. And as Lady Kim indicated, we are not the perfect couple. We're not the perfect marriage, but we weathered a lot of storms, and even what's yet ahead, we're moving forward with God as our guide to help us get through whatever it is we're not aware of or whatever we might face in the future.
Yeah. And I had an interesting call. Someone called me last week, a young lady wanting, you know, just to be a sounding board, you know. And one of the things I told this young lady is that marriage is really marriage when you go through the hard times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's easy to go through the good times together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy when both of you all are healthy and well and you're making money and, you know, you can go on vacation. But what happens when one person gets sick,
loses their job
because they've been off ill for a long time? The bills start to come in.
Right.
You know, You know, you really have to work through those situations. And y'all, another thing, get off of Facebook, you know, because Facebook will have you messed up, you mm-hmm. know, because people are not going to put their mess on Facebook. They're always going to present the best light of themselves. And so when they present the best light of themselves, you sitting there feeling miserable, talking about how come my husband ain't like hers, you know. They seem so happy together. Anybody can get on there and cheese and take a selfie together and smile. You know, anybody can do that. And then as soon as they stop smiling, they over there about to choke each other out, you know. So
why you keep what's up? You get a little aggressive tonight. You tried to punch me a few minutes ago.
Yep.
Okay, all right.
Yep. No, just teasing. But, you know, so people put their best foot or best face forward.
That's right.
When they're on Facebook.
That's right.
So do they have struggles, trials, and tribulations? Absolutely. You know, they may have just stopped fighting and fussing a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And now they're taking a selfie because they're in an environment that's conducive of taking a good selfie.
Yeah. Let's see if any questions, Lady Kim, because what we want to do the next 20 minutes is look at some of the these five love languages.
Mm-hmm.
And as I indicated last week, there are a lot of self-help books out there in terms of trying to guide people and navigate people through relationships. And so it's a list, a whole list of things. But we are looking at this book by Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages. And then he has some workbooks that will help you work through some issues and some step-by-step situations to help you identify and understand strengths and weaknesses, and then give you what's necessary in order to help facilitate getting better. Because if you made the commitment, you need to go ahead and see it through. And if God has joined you together, then nothing should be able to separate that. That's not to say there won't be any difficulties or hard times or situations that you have to endure. But if you have made that covenant relationship and connection with God and placed Him in the middle of your relationship, then God is able to help you to sustain that. And if He's the source, then you should be able to manage whatever it is that and some people, that's not to say divorce is out of the question, but you shouldn't go into marriage with divorce
as
the final, you know, as the outcome on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people do that.
Mm-hmm. Because some people in there and say, well, if it don't work, then I just get a divorce.
Right.
But that's not a good attitude to have. You need to do everything you can to sustain your marriage. If you're going into it with that attitude, then you don't need to go into it at all.
That's right. Well, let's look at these five love languages, and then I listed them last week, Lady Kim,
mm-hmm.
and they're on page number 11 of the book. It's the words of affirmation,
mm-hmm.
quality time, receiving gifts, and then acts of service and physical touch. Those are the five love languages, and I think part of what this helps us to understand and identify with is to help you know how to connect and respond to your mate in a way where you are connecting with their love language.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's correct.
And so when you talk about words of affirmation, I made the statement of it. Mark Twain once said, I can live for two months on a good compliment.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people just need to be affirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Some people need a pat on the back. Some people need to know that they're doing a great job, or that they look good, or that, you know, they got the haircut is nice. And you do that often, Lady Kim. You tell me about how handsome I am, and you tell me about how you like my beard. And so I tell people, you know, if Lady Kim likes it, I don't care how you feel about it. You know, I'm going to keep it. But if she says cut it off, then it'll be off tomorrow. But just like with her hair, and not trying to put her on blast or anything, she doesn't tell me what she's going to do, but I have to see what it looks like once she comes back from her beauty shop appointment. And so I'm good with it. I said, if you like it, I'm good with it. I mean, I told her, cut it all the way off. Go ahead and cut it off and just let's see. Didn't I tell you that?
You did.
And let's see what it looked like. But she, I don't think she's ready to go that far yet.
No, I'm not.
But talk a little bit about that words of affirmation, and did I leave out anything that needs to be...
No, words of affirmation, you covered it. It's just that, you know, that, and you know, listen to how, you need to figure out your spouse or your significant other's love language. Mm-hmm. And words of affirmation is just one of the love languages. That might not be your spouse or significant other or your mate's love language.
Right,
it's just one of them. So you're just going to have to find out which one it is. But, you know, words of affirmation can be just as simple as saying, you know, you sure look good in that suit. Or, oh, those shoes are sharp. You know, where you, or did you get some new glasses? Or, I love the way you look at me. Your eyes sparkle, and I love the way your eyes sparkle. I mean, it sounds corny, but if it's that person's love language,
right? Then they would gobble that up.
That affirms and that makes their love tank fill up.
That's right. That's
you know, and for every negative comment, it's gonna take 8 affirmations to counteract that.
Wow.
So, you know, you have to be careful with negative comments.
That's good. That's mm-hmm. good. So let's stop right there. I know you're trying to move. Are there any questions, Lady Kim? Because we're gonna try to get, and we're gonna finish this up next week, and we might even push it to just kind of wrap it up if we don't get to everything next week. Because next Monday is the day after Christmas, and so I know a lot of people will be. Out of pocket and won't be in place. But any comments so far? Any questions?
Dr. Q says talk about covenants, commitments, and contracts. We might have to get into that a little mm-hmm. later, because that's mm-hmm. a whole nother ball of
covenants,
commitments, and contracts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we'll get through the 5 love languages and we'll come back to those. Okay.
That's good though. Because, mm-hmm. yeah,
there's okay. a difference between a covenant, a commitment, and a contract.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. So, what the next one is quality time. And I made mention of the fact that, you know, there should be a consistency in what happened at the beginning in terms of what goes on throughout the relationship.
Right.
And that old song, I don't know who sang it, but the same thing it took to get your baby hooked is going to take the same thing to keep him or her.
Okay.
And so I told them, I think last week, that we still set aside time where we go on dates, and COVID really just put a tailspin on all of that, going out and going to the movie. We would probably go to the movie almost every Friday,
yeah. And because, you know, my love language.
Yeah.
My love language is quality time.
Okay, okay.
So, you know my love language.
You're supposed to ask me.
Oh, did I know? What's my love language?
Quality time.
I made it easy for you.
So we're trying to encourage somebody else and help them to understand that you can't just start out blazing and then just fizzle out.
Right.
If that's what it takes, in terms of flowers are not just for special occasions. They should be something that you give spontaneously and how you feel. And also, I talked about anniversaries and all of that.
Well, see, that's that person's love language, receiving gifts,
mm-hmm.
you know, giving flowers and candy, or it doesn't have to be anything expensive, you know, just put a note in the lunchbox, you know, or something like that. If that person's love language is receiving gifts, that'll go a long way. That'll fill their love tank. But to another person where, you know, it just doesn't,
might not
they might need words of affirmation.
Right.
They might need you to say, You sure look beautiful in that dress today. That would mean more than a bouquet of flowers.
That's right. And so when I was sharing with them last week, Lady Kim, about our anniversaries, I told them, I tell you all the time, it's not your anniversary, and it's our anniversary. And so we've gotten way beyond surprising people with gift, each other with gifts and all of that. But usually when I see something I like, and you know I like it, I don't waste time. Mm-hmm. I go ahead and get it, and yeah. Then you say, well, I was going to get you that. Well, no, we ain't got to be going through all of that. But our anniversary is our anniversary. And if I'm going to get you something, then I feel you ought to get me something.
See, you know what his secondary one is? Mm-hmm, receiving gifts. No, that's not his secondary.
You know,
no, it's not his secondary.
I love to give. I'm a giver.
He's a giver.
And I love to give gifts, mm-hmm, and candy and all of that. And so when the candy runs low, she doesn't have to ask me to reorder it. And if Tunstall is still on there, we still do that seeds candy from California, and That works for me. See that smile? That it works. I get a 2-pound box now. I don't just get a 1-pound box.
Hint, hint.
Because I eat some of it.
He eats a pound and a half, okay?
But no, it's on point. And so, but that quality time is key. And then the next one is receiving gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people, that really affirms them, that really connects them, that really helps in terms of building the relationship. And it's somebody said, what about the bacon? Yeah. See, don't even start.
Don't start with that sausage and bacon.
Because, like, guess what? Did I tell her?
What?
About the second order that came in.
He ordered me some more.
Some more bacon.
From Florida.
She didn't have to ask me neither. I went ahead and got it.
He said a package came for you today. I didn't order anything. I went in there and opened the box, and there was some pepper bacon and some mild smoked sausage, and yes, sir.
And that next morning,
what did I do?
You said, Reverend, you want me to cook you some bacon? I said, yeah, you cook me a piece of bacon, I eat it in sausage. But no, you know, that's just give you an idea of how that whole process works. And Dr. Tunstall said, yep, seeds candy, that's, you know, Wendy Williams and Miss, what's her name?
Miss Person used to send
Miss Brown, Mother Brown, you know.
Yeah, they used to send us sweethearts. Seeds candy, yep, all the time.
Right, and so we still invested. We should have took out some stock in seed candy.
I know, right.
Because we've been doing them justice for some years.
A long time. Mm-hmm.
But let's move on, because we're kind of getting away from, the time is getting away from us. Anything else on those receiving gifts? That's the
get the point. You know, that might be that person's love language. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm, receiving gifts might be mean more to them than saying, hey, babe, you look nice tonight.
Right, right,
yes,
right. And so the other one has to do with acts of service. How does that play into to getting the couple to understand acts of service? What is that all about?
Well, acts of service is just little things that you can do for the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm,
say for instance, I come home from work and I'm tired, you know, and you say, I'll cook tonight, Kim. Never.
That's not going to happen. You know, I'm not going to say
ain't gonna
that.
Happen.
But you know what? One of the things I had thought about, and I've been hinting around to it, I probably will start learning how to cook. But you cook so well, Lady Kim. I mean, yesterday you put your foot all up in that macaroni and cheese. You did. You got that Big Mama recipe down pat.
You know, your mother taught me how to cook some macaroni and cheese and some sweet potato pies now.
I came in and ate me some macaroni and cheese and had some little greens on the side, and I think it was a roast in there.
Roast and potatoes and carrots. I forgot they were cooking at church yesterday because it's usually on the fourth Sunday. So I had already prepared a roast and potatoes and carrots. And, you know, so I had it ready. So I just completed the meal. And we're going to have our sketty for tonight for dinner, okay? Yes, our food from yesterday we will eat today along with a little more of that roast and the vegetables. But anyway, so we got off, we digressed for a minute. But the point is that acts of service are just little things. You know, from time to time you get my car washed for me. That's an act of service. That might mean a whole lot to a person who's, that's their love language. And you do that because you love me and you want to help to take care of me. You get gas in my car sometimes. So, you know, and I know Minister Shotwell won't mind me saying this, but her husband every morning goes out and warms up her car before she leaves for work. And some of her coworkers are saying, what? He does that? But he knows what her love language probably is, and that's probably acts of service. Now, I don't know if that's Minister Shotwell's love language or not. When she says that, she says it with a smile, and you can see the joy on her face. So that may be her love language.
Okay.
All right. Sister Trina said, have him to call my husband.
On that cooking piece?
Probably on the car washing and getting gas.
Well, ask her which one are you talking
about? Which one
are
you talking about, Sister Trina?
Because I need to call him if I need to call him now.
But that might be your love language. I mean, you need to go through this to find out what your love language is. Because apparently, the car.
All right.
So that might be your love language, acts of service. When he does little things for you, like around the house, help you clean up one day, or, you know, take your car to get washed, or put gas in your car, or go to the grocery store. You know,
I don't do nothing. I don't do the grocery store.
And you know why it's not a problem with me? Because that's not my love language. It's not a problem because acts of service is not my love. I don't mind going to the store and buying, but some people would have take issue with that, and that would almost wreck their marriage because they would always say, why don't you go to the grocery store with me? Or why don't you ever
go shopping
with me? Because that is their love language, and they need that. I don't need that. That's not my love language.
That's good.
Okay.
And you're talking about the shopping and all of that, see, because, you know, I don't know. That's something I want to do, but sometimes you don't be feeling it.
Oh, you're talking about clothes shopping now. That's different.
Yeah,
because I want you to go to the grocery store.
No, I don't want to go to the grocery store. I'm not going to the grocery store.
See there? See?
We already know that.
Now, I don't want him to go to the grocery store.
No,
you know why? When we first got married, I asked him to go to the grocery store and bring home some lettuce and get something for dinner or whatever. He came home with cabbage, not lettuce, cabbage. And he came home with bread and bologna.
I can't affirm this because I don't remember.
And we ain't got nothing for dinner. So, you know, that ain't going to work.
Rucker says she shot by herself.
She said her husband thinks there are assigned tasks inside and outside duties. Well, however you want to assign them.
Right.
I mean, you know,
what works for them.
Right. What works for you might not work for us.
That's right.
I don't do outside. I'm telling you now, I'm scared of bugs. I don't like worms. You know, I don't like to be hot. I don't like to be cold either. So outside is not me. But you know, whatever works.
That's right.
For that person.
Right.
Because I know some people that like to work in the yard.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Just understanding where is that connection and how that would be the key to helping improve the situation and getting people on point in terms of the connection, well, I said connection, but that what they need in order to sustain them
right
in their relationship.
What fills your love tank?
That's right.
What
That's
fills
right.
his love tank? Right. What fills her love tank? You have to find out which one of these love languages speaks to your spouse, significant other, mate, so forth. But the last one, we need to hurry on because our time has gotten away, is physical touch.
Uh-huh.
Physical touch. And we're not speaking only of intimacy, you know, of a sexual relationship. Some people like to be hugged. Some people like to cuddle.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like to hold hands.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like their back rubbed or neck rubbed. Some people like their head scratched, you know, or their back scratched. Some people like their feet massaged. You know, whatever it is, whatever touch, physical touch,
my
is
back,
important.
My back is itching. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'll take care of that in a minute, okay? But that ain't your love language. I done already told the folks that.
No, you didn't. You didn't tell them what mine was.
Yes, I did.
Okay, all right.
No, I didn't.
No,
no
you did.
Right. I told them what mine was. You are absolutely right. Well, I'll let you tell them what yours is.
No, you have to tell them what you think mine is.
I don't have to tell them nothing.
You already know. You already know what it is.
I know what yours is, yes.
Okay.
You want me to tell them really?
That's up to you, Reverend.
You and then you're going to get on here and say, that ain't mine.
No, go ahead.
No, I believe yours is words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
You like to be affirmed. And your second one, or close neck or running neck is physical touch.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I'm
what do
not,
you think?
You're on point. I'm good with all of that.
Okay, I think our time has gotten away from us, but we you know, physical touch, you know, is not, you know, again, not just
why
intimacy.
Why are you getting nervous? All right, I'm not going to do that. Go ahead.
It's not just intimacy, you know. It might be a hand on the shoulder, or it might be rubbing a head.
That's right.
Or it might be
a pat on the back, scratching my back.
Scratching back, or
that's
whatever.
Right. That's right.
If that's what your significant other
that
likes.
That felt good. That felt good.
It did.
Yeah.
So that's your love language now.
You said that's what you thought it was.
Okay.
And you were on point. And so the key is to make sure that each couple identifies. And sometimes you have to go through that whole process to make sure that you're connected in a way that is in touch with what the other person really, because sometimes we can think it's something that it's not. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then then we miss out, mm-hmm, because we'll get over aggressive and thinking that that's what it is,
mm-hmm,
when really that might not be
that
what
might
it
not
is.
Be. And what I like about Gary Chapman's workbook is there's a section in there, a little, what do you call it, a survey that you can,
uh-huh,
take.
Right.
That will help you figure out what,
right,
your love language or your spouse's love language is. It's a 5 love language profile.
Profile.
And you read these statements, and if that best describes you,
we
or
might
if
need
it best
to get somebody
describes your spouse,
couples who need to,
then you circle that,
mm-hmm,
and then you know, you can figure out what your love language,
right,
is and what your spouse's love language is.
Because before you close, there are at least 3 questions that need to be raised in terms of understanding that. And then that profile really kind of helps you navigate through that process.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
and
right.
So those,
yes,
questions are listed there. One, it says, what makes me feel most loved by my spouse?
Yes.
That's a question that the couples need to really kind of engage in. And the other one is, what have I most often requested of my spouse?
Mm-hmm.
And so it helps you kind of narrow the field and kind of brings things into proper perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is what?
How do I express love to my spouse?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so all of those questions have to be answered to kind of help you get clarity and navigate and through the relationship. And so it's key when you're in touch with those, it'll help you strengthen your relationship, and it helps form lasting relationships, as we've been talking about, in terms of going the distance.
Amen.
And not just falling apart when tough times come.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, do we have any prayer requests or praise reports as we close on tonight? We've gone well beyond our time on tonight.
Any prayer requests that you see?
No, not yet, but Sister Darlene is on another platform, and she said, some make the mistake of giving what their love language is instead of finding out what their spouse's love language is. And you're absolutely right, because they feel that that's what they want. They feel that that's what their spouse wants also.
Right, right.
And you might be on AM and your spouse will be on FM.
That's right.
So you have to align with your significant other's love language in order to make an impact or to keep their love tank filled.
That's right.
You know, it's just like a gas tank. You have to fill it up. And you have to fill it up often, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you're driving around on empty, pretty soon it's going to give out.
That's right. You're going to stop on the side of the road.
You're
going to
be stopped by the side of the road, and there's nothing else that can be done. It's going to be a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to continuously fill the love tank of your significant other if you want that relationship to continue. So right now, I don't see any prayer requests on the feed for Facebook, but I do have one prayer request. Sister Bessie White, late last night, I received an email from her, and I don't usually look at emails late at night, but I did on last night, and her brother passed away, and so I already sent that information out, and so we're going to lift up Sister Bessie White in our prayers. I don't have his name right now, but lift up Sister Bessie White. It says strength for Kiana Williams and Angela Nelson. Mm-hmm. Strength for the family of Kiana Wilson and Angela Nelson, and also prayers for Dorothy and Eddie Foster. So we're going to lift up Dorothy and Eddie Foster. All right. And Sister Deanna Pirtle is asking for prayer. She's ill. So we will definitely lift you up, Sister Pirtle. And I don't know if there are any others on. Okay. You have any?
No, we want to keep the Richard family in our prayers.
Right.
As Brother Andre, a dear friend of ours in Flint, Michigan, passed last week unexpectedly. And it's really a whole lot going on there we don't clearly understand, but we're standing with that family in support. And we want to put them on the prayer list, as
Amen.
Angela is really having a heart go of it. I talked to her a couple of times, but if the Lord's will, we will be traveling to Flint to eulogize him on Thursday, and y'all pray that we have a successful trip and get out of Michigan before that bad weather comes in. But that's the plan, and I know that he would have wanted me to do it, and I'm honored to do it. He was a close friend of our family, and we certainly were saddened by his passing, and we miss him dearly.
Amen. Amen. If none others, let us pray. Gracious God in heaven, we bow in your presence today. First of all, we say thank you for loving us so much that you instituted relationships. You said it's not good for man to be alone. And so we thank you for creating woman to be his helpmeet. We ask, oh God, that as we continue to look into relationships, you give us what we need, oh God, in order to sustain our relationships in a positive manner. Now, oh God, we lift up Sister Deanna Pirtle to you, God. We lift up all of our sick and shut in to you, God, and we ask for your healing grace and mercy to go before them. God, we prayed for Sister Bessie White in the loss of that brother. Give her peace and comfort as she goes through, God. We lift up Sister Angela Richards in the loss of our dear brother Andre. We know to be absent from the body is to be present with you, Lord. So we thank you for his life and his legacy and all that he meant to us and to his family. We ask that you would comfort Sister Angela right now, God. We ask that you would just continue to keep her and give her peace as she prepares to lay Andre to his final rest. We pray for Kiana Williams, Angela Nelson, Dorothy, and Eddie Foster, God. Whatever their need is, God, we ask that you would meet that need. We know that you can provide all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so we thank you tonight, God, for providing each individual need of everybody that we've called out tonight. God, we ask for traveling grace and mercy as we travel the highways, oh God. And we ask that we make it to our destination safely and make it back home safely, God. And we ask that you watch over and keep us as we go. So we thank you for another opportunity, God, to call on your high and holy name. We thank you for each participant that's on the Bible study tonight. And we ask, oh God, that we keep you in our hearts and our minds as we get ready to celebrate your magnificent birth. We love you, we bless you, and we honor you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us on tonight. We went over a little bit, about 5 or 6 minutes, but it was well worth the time spent. Amen. Thank you all.
Be blessed.
See you next time. Bye-bye.